Red Grange joined us immediately after his last collegiate game against Ohio State.
Yeah. And you say Shy City, Shy City, Shy City.
I'm coming home again.
Quick pitch to Walter, looking for the record, cuts back, he's got it, he's out of it at 25.
The Bears are who we thought they were. And that's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
You know, they say that money calling, that money on the phone.
Forget it. Nobody's going to get them. Long gone. Devin Hester, you are ridiculous.
What is going on, everyone? And welcome back to Bears on Tap. You can go ahead and follow us at that handle. Today is a continuation of free agency. Obviously, we've actually seen a little bit of the Andy Dalton. I don't know, maybe people have starting to come around on him already, but that was our last episode. Today, we're talking about Kenny Golladay, Kyle Fuller, Akeem Hicks, kind of all the drama that's been ensuing, some of these smaller roster moves in free agency. You can go ahead and follow us at Bears on Tap or follow On Tap Sportsnet for all of your Chicago sports needs. I'm Lucas Perfetti. You can go ahead and follow me at LucasPerfetti46. And I also have my guys, Duke Coughlin at That Pod Guy Duke, and Beat on 300, Mr. Brandon Suarez. Actually, Duke's looking pretty slick. I know you probably had this haircut last time, but you're looking very like Cheeky Blinders, super like, you know, clean on the fucking sides, but you got that long like swag on the top. So I'm feeling it. How you feeling? All right.
Yeah, man. I am actually feeling this haircut, dude. It was kind of a leap when I did it, but you know, I got really thick fucking hair and decided why not let it go up top. So, you know, definitely feel like I could sell some used cars today. But yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm feeling as good as Chicago sports is allowing me to at this point. I'm literally like just ready to take like a tie game or anything, but I guess the Bulls won today. So I don't know. I'm good. Probably not feeling as good as Beat on 300 over here on his tournament pick. So
yeah, I mean, my brackets, I have gotten to the point where I actually deleted the app off my phone because it's so toasted, but the gambling picks have been hot. We actually checked out our new sponsor, Bet Rivers, last night, me and Ethan. Place is phenomenal. Go ahead and check them out. But the Bears are in a fucking shit show of events of the last week, whether it's the Kyle Fuller news, the laughable amount of money they offered Kenny Golladay, all these different things that are happening across the league. We have suddenly become the number one laughing stock across the NFL, and that's become more apparent over the last week with what this organization's done.
Yeah, and I think it was really kicked off by Andy Dalton. Obviously still a really tough fucking signing to swallow. Yeah, we got to talk about Mitch too. But let's start that off, dude. Mitchie Mitch gets a contract in Buffalo, takes a backup role for $2.5 million, I believe. And Buffalo had a lot of good things to say about him. And when you really think about it, they got a couple backup quarterbacks over there and younger guys too that they feel like might have some promise. But they said straight up they were one game away from being in the Super Bowl. And if Josh Allen goes down, he plays that style of football where he's willing to lower his shoulder and take some hits. Like if he goes down for a few weeks, they want someone to come in that has experience and could win games like Mitchell Trubisky. And I think it's literally the best move for his career moving forward. No doubt about it. I think it's similar to what Jameis Winston did going into New Orleans to work with Drew Brees and whatever. But Duke, let's get your take on it real quick.
So there were a couple of key things that came up when they were talking to the Buffalo Bills GM about this move. And really what I got out of all of it is that they're just really excited about the type of skill set that Mitchell Trubisky is bringing in, kind of like you were saying, Lucas. And they feel like they really trust him. It really felt like there was a trusting kind of aura about this. Like they feel confident enough about this signing right now, Mitchell Trubisky, that they stopped him from going to another opportunity. They kind of sold him on Buffalo. And the way they talked about it, it kind of sounded like they were comfortable with a guy like Mitchell Trubisky coming in and running the offense exactly like Josh Allen does, which, you know, that really, really has to excite you as a fan of, you know, if you're a fan of Mitchell Trubisky, because that's kind of something he never really had here in Chicago. He never really, you know, with the reports that are coming out about Matt Nagy never really wanting Mitchell Trubisky and a lot of different stuff kind of being thrown around there, it's just kind of nice seeing him in a situation where he looks wanted. You know what I mean? It kind of felt like he was just the guy that was here before. Now he feels like he looks like it's a guy who's going to get a fresh restart. And that's another thing their GM really brought up, was like a fresh start for Mitchell Trubisky. And
yeah, and he was even willing to take less money, because he even said, like, this is a reset year for you. That's how they convinced him and his agent. They said it took convincing, because there was a market out there for Mitchell Trubisky, whatever anyone else wants to tell you. Like, when you look at the free agents and who went, like Ryan Fitzpatrick and Andy Dalton and some of these quarterbacks that are available, like, Mitchell Trubisky was kind of the cream of the crop. Tyrod Taylor was another one, you know? So when it comes to maximum upside, guy that's won a lot of games and has some rough shit happen throughout his career, like, Chicago hasn't been great to quarterbacks in general. So I think it was really good for him to move, especially because now don't get me wrong, I don't think Mitchell Trubisky is going to ever be able to stretch the field like Josh Allen, because that dude's got a fucking cannon, and he probably has just, I mean, he's got a hog. Let's just be real here. The guy's 7 foot tall, but I mean,
I knew that was coming next.
It's just so obvious, but I don't think he's gonna be able to stretch the field, but they talked about him being able to run RPO and a lot of the similar concepts. And if you really think about Mitchell Trubisky and Josh Allen's first 2 years, very, very similar, like accuracy issues, but you knew the kid had some talent, like, and they needed to work some things out, and they were able to do that with Josh Allen. I think they could do the same for Mitchell Trubisky, truthfully.
Well, and that's kind of another point the GM did bring up, is he brought up Mitchell's career record as a starter. He brought up that, you know, one thing I think that he brought up without really taking a shot at Chicago, but kind of subtly taking a shot, was we don't really know what happened in Chicago. I don't know if anyone else caught that comment.
I sure did. Yep.
And it's like, that makes it sound like GMs outside of Chicago and coaches outside of Chicago see Mitchell Trubisky a lot differently than he was seen here. You know, so maybe that's where that value comes in. And, you know, to those people that said Mitchell didn't have a market, come on, you're lying to yourself. It's a young quarterback, athletic enough. He had a winning record. Honestly, his career completion percentage isn't that bad. It actually is on the better side of things. So, yeah, I'm really just happy for Mitch. I hope everything goes well out there. Obviously, I would never wish injury on, like, Josh Allen or anything. I hope he plays healthy. But if it does happen, you know, hey, man, I'm really excited to see Mitch on the field again starting somewhere.
Yeah, and before we get to UB down, I just think it's asinine to say that Mitchell Trubisky wouldn't have a market. Guys like Mike Glennon have a market every year. Guys like Chase Daniel have a market every year just for being team guys. So to think that he wasn't going to have a market whatsoever, knowing that the entire NFL is seeing us as a laughingstock right now, I think you kind of hit it on the head. Buffalo, you know, the GM said, we don't really know what happened in Chicago, and no one knows what's happening in Chicago right now. Go ahead, B-Don.
That's the thing. And, you know, if you look at the numbers, I think Mitch signed for like $2.5 or $3 million. It's like, it brings me back to the point where I've just caught myself like several times throughout the week where I'm just like, Andy fucking Dalton. We're paying $10 million American dollars to Andy Dalton, as opposed to just like running it back with Mitch. And I know we're paying Nick Foles a lot of money to do a lot of nothing. So it's a situation where it really kind of, it fogs up what we're going to do here in the draft. And I, as much as I want to say that there's like something coming where we somehow pull like the Khalil Mack trade out of our ass, or we can somehow get a quarterback that's more capable than Andy Dalton, don't see it happening. I feel like at this point this year, as much as I don't want to say it, those guys have already made their bet. I feel like this could be a tank year at this point. Like, they're going to say they want to be competitive, but let's be honest, bro. Like, we have a tough schedule this year. His team is continuing to get worse. And if you look at the quarterback position, Mitch is going to go and be in Brian Daboll's offense under Josh Allen. He's only going to come out of that situation better. Look at what it did for Jameis under Drew Brees.
I couldn't agree with you more. And that's like one thing that I think that cannot be stressed enough, because we've said it multiple times on this podcast. The moves that are being made don't seem like desperation moves from guys that need to win right now to keep their job. That's all. It just seems very suspect. Go ahead, Duke.
And that is the terrifying part, because that makes you wonder how much they really have to work with here. Like, is there a future past 1 year for Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy, regardless of what happens. Because if we're doing something where we're rebuilding right now, where we're not going to have that sense of urgency to win this year, it makes me think that these guys have security, and that is honestly the worst possible case scenario right now for where this team is at and with where we are with Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace. So that's the biggest thing that worries me if that is actually the case. I almost hope that they're buying in that Andy Dalton's like this, like a savior or something, instead of a fucking a tank year. Because if we're in a tank year, then we're stuck with these clowns for at least two, three more years.
And I really like, I feel bad because we just trashed Andy Dalton, but like, we're gonna have to somehow rally behind the fucking guy. Like, he seems like a nice guy. He's got a hot wife. He's done stuff in this league, but I just don't think that the fit is there. And I don't think he's the missing piece on this offense. I don't know. It's like I tweeted earlier in the week. It's like there's someone that has paid millions of dollars that signed off. There is multiple people that are all paid millions of dollars that agreed that this was the best, you know, course of action for this team. So knowing that level of incompetency is going on at Hallis Hall bothers me, and I know it bothers all of our listeners and Bears fans all across, you know, the country and the world.
Well, and we stressed it in the last episode. Shouldn't have burned your bridge with Mitch if you didn't know what exactly you were going to be getting in the meantime, you know. It was just such a long shot. And to me, like, Andy Dalton, we talked about it too last episode, but you can't really hate on the guy, Andy Dalton, because he just got here. He hasn't done anything for the Bears. And when you really look at Andy Dalton 3 years ago, if the Bears got Andy Dalton, it would have been all right. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it wouldn't have been a terrible thing because he's a low level franchise quarterback. He's the Joe Flaccos, the Jared Goffs, the, you get what I'm saying? Like, those types of franchise quarterbacks.
He's a mid-tier quarterback. Exactly. He can get the job done, but he needs some help around him, and he needs a good defense.
He should be a starter for – he should have been a starter the time he was starting. We're not going to say he was a bad quarterback, but he was very painfully average. And that's just what makes me worry, because this offense is already painfully average. So I was hoping if we insert a gunslinger – that's why I was open to someone like Jameis Winston or Russell Wilson, someone that likes to stretch the field, because then we really get to see. Does Matt Nagy – does he have trust issues, or is he unwilling to stretch the field in general? Not when you got a guy like Andy Dalton. Everything's going to be underneath. We're going to see the same exact offense. We're probably going to go back into the style of offense that Matt Nagy wants to run, even though he probably complements, you know, in laser system a bit more. But it's dumbfounding. It's very dumbfounding, but I'm happy for Mitch. I'm happy he seems to be in a situation like the Buffalo Bills fans all embraced him already. You can see it out there. Like, people are already saying, oh, now the Buffalo Bills have the two most inaccurate quarterbacks and blah, blah, blah. They're going to rally behind that fucking kid if Allen ever gets injured. And they're going to give that kid the confidence that we never gave him. And I'm not saying it's the Chicago fan base's fault or we should have been whatever, but let's be real here. The kid never got a legitimate shot.
Put the t-shirts up, because someone in Buffalo will beat us to it.
He's never got a legitimate shot to be developed in this city. No chance.
Yeah, and I mean, that gets worse when you hear the reports about Matt Nagy talking about how he never really wanted to coach Mitchell Trubisky. I don't know if you guys caught Wilbon on the Rich Eisen podcast, but yeah, that was definitely a tough listen. It almost made me really want to punch a hole in my wall, because I don't understand a coach like Matt Nagy deciding he's not going to coach anybody. You know what I mean? That just kills me. But yeah, man, I'm happy for Mitch 100%. And, you know, kind of like I said the last episode, I'm not going to beat the dead horse on it. The Andy Dalton signing just doesn't really give me much upside. You know, like you guys said, just painfully average. We're just kind of at the point where we already know what he is. He's sure very fringe starting quarterback in this league at this point. We saw what he did in Dallas last year. But, yeah, it's just a move that honestly probably shouldn't have been done by the upper management. And that's who we should push our anger towards, not the quarterback himself.
Yeah, and I feel like we talked about earlier, it's like, do you really think that behind closed doors these guys were promised extra years? It's not clear to us at this point the way that they're acting. You would feel that there's a couple more years on those contracts with the moves that they're making, because the team that they're putting together, it doesn't take, you know, someone from one of the, you know, major brands that, you know, do analytical stats, because I'm not going to give a free ad, and I know we hate those fuckboys, but you know what I'm saying, to call them a good team. You know, it doesn't take an expert to figure out the Bears are not going to be good this year. Like, my mom's even like, what is going on? Like, what are we doing here? Like, I continue to look at the moves that are made every day, and it's just like, I'm burying my face in my palm. I know we're not a video podcast, but you guys can see me. It's just like, every day, it's something new. Andy Dalton comes to the podium. They told me I was going to be the starting quarterback. Excuse me?
They better have fucking lied.
In the NFL, you don't hand out starting quarterback positions to fucking anyone. Anyone. Maybe not anyone, but you get where I'm going with that.
Well, dude, and what kind of gets me with that entire situation is, kind of like you said, like, how can you promise that? How can you promise that to anybody? Like, we've already got video packages on the Chicago Bears Twitter. We already got Andy Dalton sitting down with Jeff Joniak talking about Bill Lazor and how well they get along and how Andy Dalton's already talking to Nick Foles. And that was probably like the worst part of the entire press conference when they started talking about that. Cause it's like, good Lord, you better be, you know, telling him a good spot in Cincinnati to go fucking, you know, live for a couple months. Like, I don't know, man. It was just, it's overall really fucking brutal. I don't know how you can promise a starting job to anybody at this point.
Especially someone of the caliber of Andy Dalton. You trade for Russell Wilson. Obviously he's not competing for the job in camp, but you just signed a fucking guy to high-end backup quarterback money. Like, that is not starting quarterback money. That is not bridge quarterback money. That is fucking high-end backup money that we paid Andy Dalton, and he's still named the starter. That's why I take it with a grain of salt, and you hear some of these things coming out from Michael Wilbon about Matt Nagy not wanting to coach Mitchell Trubisky, which I can't agree with. Michael Wilbon says a lot of shit in a lot of days, but we also had Lawrence Holmes talking about how all of the players are distraught in the locker room and stuff like that after Kyle Fuller gets released. I can't sit here and say I know what's going on inside Hallis Hall and attest to the gossip and tell you what's true and what's not, but I can tell you that the roster itself is deteriorating. And Bedon said it before we got on this podcast. When you look at that 2018, even the 2019 roster versus what we have on paper today, it is a significant downgrade. It's bad.
Yeah, and just to put it out there for our listeners, I got home from our casino, the Bet Rivers, last night, and the first thing I put on my screen was NFL Network. First thing I see is Mitchell Trubisky celebrating a touchdown, instant pain. And then I just, like, I'm seeing Roquan make plays. I'm seeing Kyle Fuller make plays. I'm seeing Mitch make plays. I'm seeing all these guys make plays, and I'm just like, they're no longer Bears. I mean, Akeem, I know, is not necessarily gone yet. Maybe he'll come back. I really hope he does. But Kyle Fuller, bro, like, if I'm mad about it, you said it in the Bears Slack chat. If I am mad about Kyle Fuller being gone, as someone who likes a press corner who gets in your face, something is wrong. There was no reason to get rid of a top 10 corner in this league in the middle of his prime. Last year, he played arguably the best season he has ever had.
Yeah, and he's never been a takeaway kind of guy. You know, that's not his game, but he's always been very good at limiting yardage for the receiver he's covering, batting down balls, playing really sticky coverage, getting in people's faces, like, when the ball's thrown, obviously not at the line of scrimmage. But I feel like it's kind of insane that Kyle Fuller was released, just outright release. You're telling me you couldn't get a six?
No trade, nothing. A fifth round pick for him. You couldn't get. Thanks for coming out.
And that's why I feel like something in Hallis Hall is broken. There's information leaking or something like that, because there's no way you can tell me that 2 years ago, Jalen Ramsey in a contract year got 2 first-round picks and Kyle Fuller couldn't warrant you shit in a contract year. And I know he's a few years older. I know he's not as top end as Jalen Ramsey. And Jalen Ramsey, you could put anywhere on the field and have him blanket. He's not Jalen Ramsey, but he's a damn good player. For you to tell me that you can't get shit for him. Nothing. Nada. That's why it just, I don't know. We'll get back into it. I'm gonna do a quick ad read from our guys at Manscaped, and then we're gonna start talking about some of these other transactions, because I'm sure you're tired of hearing about the quarterbacks. COVID spring break is right around the corner, and you know what that means. Spring break in your pants. Manscaped is here to ensure that the party in your pants never stops. Even Veronica Corningstone wouldn't say no to this pants party. For everyone preparing for a pants party this spring break, I have an exclusive 20% off discount. Use the code ONTAP at manscaped.com. I'm telling you guys, if you've never used Manscaped, it's incredible products, whether it comes down to their toners, their deodorant, it keeps your twig and berries nice and fresh. I think Duke actually used Manscaped to shave the side of his heads because you don't just need it for your undercarriage. So, I mean, we've talked about the Lawnmower 3.0. It's got a skin-safe technology, no nicks, no cuts, nothing like that. You could try to cut yourself. It won't work. You could take it in the shower. It's waterproof. Unbelievable technology. You want to go ahead and get that 20% off and free shipping. Use the code ONTAP at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code ONTAP. All you got to do is say aloha to your new beautiful balls with Manscaped. But to get back to what we were talking about, Kyle Fuller has left. It doesn't make a lot of sense. He goes and gets himself a $9.5 million deal with the Denver Broncos and goes ahead and joins Vic Fangio back up. I'm sure he's going to play really well over there. So we'll end up missing him, no doubt about it. But enter the fold, Desmond Trufant, which is a move that I don't necessarily hate. Started his career with the Falcons, played with the Lions. Duke, what do you got on Trufant?
So, yeah, I think you kind of covered a little bit of it there. First round pick, played with the Falcons, actually played some pretty good ball down there. He's definitely a ball hawking type of guy. He uses his speed very often. He'll get behind in coverage to almost mask his coverage, almost as he's getting beat, and he'll come underneath and get interceptions. That's really, really where his bread and butter is. He's very good at kind of catching quarterbacks off guard and watching their eyes more than he is actually watching the receiver that he's covering, which can also burn him. So there's a downside to that. But yeah, I mean, career statistics, 14 interceptions. He has 83 pass deflections, 3 forced fumbles. He actually has 2 pick sixes as well. He's
pick
not
six on Tom Brady.
Yeah. Pick six on Tom Brady, you know, the guy with the spice. But you know, it's kind of one of these things where this is a signing that tells you that Jalen Johnson's probably going to be the number one. He's probably going to handle quite a bit of the press coverage type of, you know, coverage off the line. And Desmond Trufant's going to kind of be that guy that's going to play off the ball. But he can also use his speed to kind of chase down receivers as well. He does a little bit of everything. It's kind of another safe signing, but it's a signing that you're never too safe in the secondary. So it's a signing that I like. I hate the Kyle Fuller release. I've made that pretty publicly well known. I feel like everyone has. If you like the Kyle Fuller release, please let me know so I can berate you. But yeah, no, Desmond Trufant is a solid pickup. Just wish it was under better circumstances.
And the one thing I will say as a football guy, the Trufant family is giving the Manning family a run for their money as the football family of the world, because whether and I know I'm going to get it wrong, there's been so many Trufants that have come into the league. If I'm not mistaken, a majority of them have been related, whether it's like cousins. Like, I know Aaron Brooks was cousins with like Michael Vick, like just random relations. Like, somehow the Trufant family has kept high level corners in the NFL. I know Trufant's not at the height of his career, but we've seen great things out of him. And I think he's going to be at least, he's not going to be Kyle Fuller, but he's going to be at least you know, a starting caliber corner for us. I don't think he'll be the number one, but he'll play well.
Yeah, and the kind of your Trufant point, Marcus Trufant, before Richard Sherman came about the NFL, Marcus Trufant actually had a real case for being the best defensive back that the Seattle Seahawks ever had. So, yeah, the Trufant family. He's also got Isaiah out there. It's the three brothers currently in the NFL. So, yeah, it's definitely a football playing family. So you'll definitely get that aspect of it.
My biggest thing, and I wanted to kind of highlight on what Duke said a second ago, the circumstances weren't great. I think Trufant's a great player, and I kind of disagree with you. I think they're going to use Jalen and Trufant in their natural roles, and that's playing pressed up against the ball. I think they really want to make sure the pass people feel the pass rush this year. That's what kind of move it is to me, because Kyle Fuller does allow for some of those shorter completions that are easy, you know, almost dump offs, in a sense, hot reads for a quarterback when we're bringing a ton of guys, ton of pressure and stuff like that. So I do think that that's where they're kind of going with it. But yeah, I think of the circumstances, if they were to have traded Fuller to get a guy like Russell Wilson, because if I'm not mistaken, Kyle Fuller was in that package for Russell Wilson with the three ones, the two Kyle Fuller, and I believe Akeem Hicks were the starters named, or maybe it was Khalil Mack and Akeem Hicks. Either way, the trade never happened. But I can understand if it got you something in return, but the fact that you got rid of Fuller, and I haven't seen Trufant's money yet, but if we're paying Trufant essentially what we saved in cutting Fuller, it makes no sense to me at all, because I do think it's an overall downgrade. Even if you do want to play more aggressive, I don't want to knock
getting rid of Bryce for Buster, and we saw how that worked out.
And Buster and Bryce, I mean, but Bryce was injured all of 2019. I don't know. I don't want to hate on, because I feel
that's
like
a, that's a complicated one.
I feel like Buster Skrine really played well in 2019, and he played well up until he tweeted out that fucking tweet against the Titans.
The Titans, yeah.
Yeah, when Corey Davis or AJ Brown scored
two touchdowns on his ass that day.
As soon as he said first touchdown letting up, he just started falling off a cliff. And that's kind of what happens with older corners. So it makes sense to get to not want to extend Fuller. You know what I mean? Like, I was okay with the move if they got something back for him. But to replace him with a guy that's his age for what could be exactly what they saved makes no fucking sense whatsoever. Like, none at all.
Yeah, so no, I definitely agree with you there, and I'm hoping the number really isn't too high considering he only played six games last season. So really, an overpay here would actually really bother me. But I guess to kind of clear up my point with talking about him as a ball hawk, yes, he does play tight, and I do think that is how we will use him. He just is surprisingly really fast for his size. For being a 6 foot corner, he does have some wheels on him, and that's usually what can kind of, you know, bail him out of trouble. So that's more or less what I was trying to get with that. He did that really well in Atlanta with the guy opposite of him always playing pretty well off the ball. But yeah, I mean, like we've beaten to death. I mean, it's just kind of one of those signings that we enjoy, but it's a signing that we were going to enjoy a lot less if it meant that that was the reason that Kyle Fuller was gone, or that this cap. Yeah,
like, if you just take Kyle Fuller out of the equation, I like the signing.
Yeah,
no disrespect to Desmond Trufant, but you take Kyle Fuller out of the equation and that's the replacement you bring to us. Like,
you're downgrading at the position.
Yeah.
Flat out.
You look at the way the money is being spent by this organization, and it's just so reckless. So reckless.
But they're not even like making huge signings. It just makes no sense. They're signing like utility guys that seems like, that's what I'm saying. It just seems like they're trying to steer the ship and get through this COVID year of salary cap, and they're going to be there in 2022. That's the way they're operating. Because
the COVID organizational cap out bullshit or cop out bullshit is such I don't want to hear it. I want to hear it from the Cubs. I don't want to hear it from the Sox. I don't want to hear it from the Bulls, Blackhawks, Bears. Nobody in Chicago. Figure it out. You're a sports organization. As someone who studies sports, I understand that. Like, take for example, if you bought a ticket package for the Sox last year, they weren't giving out full refunds. They were rolling that money over till next year. Sports teams don't have cash on hand year round. They rely on us. You guys rely on us to pay the bills. So remember that when you trot some bullshit out there on Sunday. Because I know a lot of people don't want to go to games this year.
I even sent out a tweet. Yeah, like, if I was the Bears, I would convince Lori Lightfoot to not let fucking people into the stadium, because you might see some really, obviously the September games will sell out. It's nice out, whatever, but you start out 0-4 and Andy Dalton looks like a bag of shit. We're scoring 4 points a game. You better believe that stadium's going to get empty quick. Hey man, I
saw two safeties go down in my brother's game yesterday. I've never seen 4 points go down that way.
I mean, yeah. And I will say, I'm going to wait till the end of the offseason. Like, I have to at this point. I need to see what happens in the draft for me to really – because these moves just don't make sense. In other news, too, Kyle Long, different Kyle, old player, came out of retirement, signed a one-year deal with the Kansas City Chiefs, I believe up to $5 million. So that's extremely ironic that Kyle Long wasn't supposed to be an ideal fit in our offense and, you know, was a has-been. He was forced into retirement at halftime of a game in London. And now he goes and plays with this Jagoff's old fucking coach. So there's just more and more and more signs of Matt Nagy's incompetence as a head coach and how people don't want to be around him. And we can elaborate on Kyle Long a little bit more, but there's a big reason why Kenny Golladay didn't come to the Chicago Bears. And for all those people that are maybe Matt Nagy fans, the DeBears blogs of the world, and saying that, oh, it doesn't seem like a hostile situation in Halas Hall and blah, 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 and everything's fucking sunshine and rainbows because the Bears were rumored to maybe get Russell Wilson. It's not the case. No one wants to be here. We said it. We don't want to be right, but unfortunately we were. No one wants to be here.
Kenny Jackson Golladay made a tweet that was since deleted.
What was that tweet?
Honestly, can't remember it off
it was, the top of the dome, it was like dude, a, you gotta be kidding me. It was like one of those. I don't know if those are the exact words, but I caught it when he did it.
It was basically something like that with, like, you know, the face palm emoji where, like, yep, the guy's the actual emoji of a face palm. So Eddie Jackson is with us on this week because even the players don't know what the fuck is going on in Halas Hall.
Yeah, man. And that's not a good sign. Like, with a offseason of as much turnover as there is right now of, like, players and such, obviously starting quarterback, which is, like, the biggest position, it's not a good sign to have players tweeting stuff out like that.
You know what bothers me the most? I'm sorry to cut you off, Duke, but it all stems back to Goofy George and Salami Ted's 12 fucking hour meeting in Halas Hall. They just don't know how to do anything fucking properly, dude. They could have easily just said to the media, hey, Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace are going to be available to talk on Thursday. They didn't need to have this radio silence coming out of Halas Hall with all the speculation that you know that happens in the Chicago media, with the way the season ended, with not having a quarterback, all of that shit. You could have just played it cool and said, hey, we're going to have these guys speak on Thursday. And you could have chose to have that 12-hour meeting and chose to fire them and then just not had him speak. But instead, you let this shit get out of hand and have to hear one more hour without any fucking update about the coaching staff. One more hour. Let's have all these articles pour out. Let's have Eric Lambert fucking hammer this shit. Like, let's have all these jagoffs write 35 articles in a 12 hour span. And all you had to do was just say, hey, they're going to be available for the media on Thursday or whatever day it was. And that's what bothers me the most. It's because the dysfunction, and we see it time in and time out. And it's this dysfunction on top is the reason why the Bears are an unsuccessful organization. They botched it by not fucking cleaning house. And I'm someone that did like Ryan Pace, and now he can go fuck himself and those clean cut biceps. He can go straight to hell. I don't really care at this point.
Can confirm.
But I mean, realistically, that's just the case. Like, there's so much dysfunction on top that it doesn't matter who is underneath. It doesn't matter who's playing. It's Salami Ted, dude. It's that simple.
Do you want to know what, like, makes this 1,000 times worse? Is the fact that they, like you said, they didn't tell everyone, oh, Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace will be available to talk to the media later in the week. No, they didn't have any of that, which tells me that they were not 100% confident that they would go into that meeting and leave it with Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace currently in their jobs. So for them to jump in as far as they've jumped in, committing to these guys, having that god-awful collaboration, Nation of Fucking Collaboration podcast, whatever the fuck that bullshit was, dude. That was like one of the worst fucking live streams I've ever seen. The four of those idiots just standing there talking about how much they collaborate. Like, how in the world can you go into that meeting not knowing exactly the future of these two guys and then just buy in that much? You know what I mean? Obviously, they weren't bought in, or else they would have said there was media availability. So that just tells me that, I don't know if George just doesn't quite know what's happening on a day-to-day basis with anything.
They just don't have any foresight. They don't understand. They didn't understand the repercussions of having those reports come out. Like, it doesn't seem like it's much.
No foresight, no foreskin.
It's just Chicago Bears fans and their media going crazy, and it doesn't matter. No, it really does fucking matter, dude, because that word spreads like wildfire on Twitter, and it was all out there. And Chicago Bears have a social media team that I guarantee you every time the Chicago Bears is mentioned, they scrub that fucking tweet. And all they had to do was realize, hey, shit is hitting the fan. We need to say that these guys are safe, but they don't have that foresight, and that's the problem. They didn't have the foresight before the move was made, and they didn't have the foresight to actually keep things secure if they did decide to go along with Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace. And that's why we're seeing the offseason unfold the way it is.
It's the best point, though, that you just brought up is, like, even though Matt Nagy or Ryan Pace or fucking Andy Dalton may not see our tweets, someone in that office sees every single time any one of us, any one of you, anybody ever mentions the Chicago Bears on social media, somebody at Hallis Hall sees that.
And it wasn't a jerk off like me talking about the Chicago Bears and Ted Phillips and salami. It was an NFL Network saying there's a radio silence coming from fucking Hallis Hall. Like, it was national fucking news, dude. It was a joke. Sorry, let's move forward.
No, you're good. Honestly, I don't think that entire kind of scenario about it gets brought up enough. I mean, like we said, how in the world can you have that much silence and then just kind of jump so far in with this nation of collaboration, man? Like, I don't understand it at all. But yeah, let's please move forward. I'm just gonna get fucking beat red in the face if we keep up with this.
I mean, but that's because the guys. That's the type of thing that's gonna make you have to sign Andy Dalton. Have Mitch not even want to be a part of your team. I'm sure if the Bears could have gotten Mitch back, they would have. And he was probably like, you know what? Fuck you guys. That report won't ever surface, but I guarantee you that was part of the thing. That's why you have to sign a guy like Andy Dalton. That's why you put the tag on Allen Robinson, because he doesn't want to be here. You couldn't sign someone who I personally think is a better player that was going to get guaranteed less money than Allen Robinson. Couldn't get him to come, and the kid grew up a fucking Bears fan. I mean, are you kidding me, bro? And he's got Danny Dimes over there. It's not like they got a great fucking team. Like, I think Danny Dimes is a decent quarterback. He's got to hold on to the ball. But it's not like he went somewhere that's like, hey, there's a huge promising future. He took a good amount of guaranteed money and $50 billion. I think it's a $79 million contract, which is definitely south of what the Chicago Bears were going to be trying to give Allen Robinson. And now you have to have Allen Robinson play on the tag because you can't acquire a guy in a market where – and in a time where the market is so oversaturated, this is like a guy like Bill Belichick is killing it right now because he had a ton of cap space. Players know that he could fucking win. And it's like, hey, come on over. I'll pay you. We can't even do that. We can't even buy players as the Chicago Bears right now. That's how fucking bad it is. And now we don't know what's going on with Akeem Hicks. It seems like he's going to be staying, but I have no idea. He was told he can go seek a trade. We saw him scrub his social media of all Chicago Bears shit. Now he's staying, but we're kind of wishy-washy here. It's getting fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, it's genuinely getting really hard to keep up with. And that's just another problem with this organization is there's just no clear path. And that's really what gets irritating. Even with the signings we just had, signing the outside linebacker from Denver and signing the defensive lineman from Arizona. Like what does that add? You know what I mean? Like we just let some of our own guys go, like a Barcavius Mingo and Brent Urban, to sign guys at essentially the same exact price to fill in those same roles. Like, I don't know, man, I don't quite understand any of this, you know. And I said this kind of in the podcast after we signed Dalton, and I kind of went on a tangent about it, but like, I'm so legitimately confused on what the fucking direction is here. The only thing that makes sense at this point is we are gearing the fuck up for this upcoming draft, and we are going to go absolutely nuts with trades. Like, we're going to move up. We're going to try to get as many picks this year as we can. We're going to try to get in the middle rounds. We're going to try to get in the early, you know, second, third, fourth round, because we really don't have, like, anything in those picks right now. Otherwise, this just doesn't make sense. Otherwise, this does feel like a fucking absolute tank year, and I just don't understand how the people at the top can tank.
Yeah, and just to put a name to those guys, we got Jeremiah Atuoju. I'm sorry, my guy, you're on the team. I will learn it as soon as I hear someone pronounce it properly. That's a tough last name. He's the outside linebacker from Denver. Then we have Angelo Blackson from Arizona. Those are two guys that actually, like, I'm not worried about their defensive line signings. They have, if Ryan Pace has proven to do one thing really well, he has proven to sign guys on fucking vet minimums and have them produce at a very high level as pass rushers and defensive linemen stuffing the run. So be it, however you want to call it. That's one thing. I'm sure those two guys will be productive, but it just, like, there's no continuity with the way the things are going right now. And it just seems like we're a year behind the eight ball, like we usually are. We're just 1 year away, or 1 year behind, or 1 year ahead. There's just always something about this team that just never feels complete. It never feels like we just have a squad out there that should go out there and win 12, 13 games. Like, never do the Bears put together a roster where it just feels like they are the favorite in the NFC North and they have a legitimate shot preseason to win the Super Bowl. How many times have you seen the Bears picked as Super Bowl winners preseason in your lifetime? Like, because I don't think I've ever seen it.
I think the closest we ever got was after 2006, maybe. Maybe in 2006, we got a pretty good ranking. And 2019, I guess, that would be the most recent example of getting really any hype outside of that. But going 8-8, absolutely destroyed any of that going into 2020. Yeah, dude, I feel everything you're saying right now. It sucks not being known as a favorite. It sucks not being seen as a team to put their meat on the fucking table and go all in on something. You know what I mean? Like, this is just... Ah, dude, it's disgusting. It's
but I'd rather now. It be like, you know, I know Jerry Reinsdorf, a lot of people talk shit about Jerry Reinsdorf because he's cheap or whatever.
Dude, but Jerry in the past 4 or 5 years has recognized that he has a core and he's put his fucking meat on the table and signed some guys. So
and I understand that, but I personally feel like George is the opposite of Jerry. Like Jerry is very, hey, we need to build this organization the right way. We need to fucking get all these guys on the cheap that are going to be maximized. You know, he understands the idea of not having or of having team friendly contracts and guys on rookie deals and stuff like that. And I prefer that type of attitude than George, because George literally just, they max out this salary cap all the fucking time. And there's nothing to show for it. We have a Jacksonville fucking Jaguars roster and we're going to be pressed up against the cap going into 2022. That's the fucking sad thing.
Well, dude, and you have to roll with like younger guys. You have to build a core before you go all in and decide that this is going to be what we're going to run with. Because when you start spending a lot of money on one or two or three players, you have to realize the rest of your roster has to be pretty fucking built. And, you know, yeah, dude, I'm definitely one of the guys who shits on Jerry Reinsdorf specifically for his fucking concession prices, which are outrageous. But, you know, he is a guy who recognized that we were shit for so long that we have a great farm. We traded away our best assets. And it took him a long, long time to actually admit that we had these assets we needed to trade away, because we held on to Chris Sale probably 2 years too long. But like once we made that Chris Sale trade, we ended up getting a bunch of assets and we were bad for a couple years. But we didn't overspend every single offseason to be like, all right, well, we got these young guys. Let's go win now. It's like, all right, we're not tanking, but we're not actively going out of our way to be insanely good. You know what I mean? And when you can actually just gradually build that to hit a point where it's like every young player that you just waited on is contract controlled and in their prime, now we're going to go spend fucking money. Now we're going to go get a guy like Lance Lynn. Now we're going to go get a guy like Yasmani Grandal and solidify a position that hasn't been solidified in years. Like, that's the way you do it. I know baseball is completely different from football, but I'm glad you brought this point up, Lucas, because this is just team building 101. You have to have a young core. You have to have something built. Like, even the Chicago Blackhawks, dude, they had the core four before they decided to start going all in. Like, they had Taze and Kane before they signed Marian Hossa. Like, you have to have something there.
You have to have guys on your core of guys that are rookie contract that can get you to the playoffs, and then you need to sign some fucking big money people to take you into that championship range.
Exactly.
That's what it really comes down to. And the Bears did that from 2015 to 2018. They did that, and they just fucked it up. And that's what the fucking most terrible thing about it is. That's what bothers me the most, because they did do it the right way. They did tear everything down and get rid of all these old guys that were beloved by the Chicago Bears fans and got rid of all this dead fucking money and all this stuff. And they built it up the right way. They built up the defense the right way, had a ton of young talent, and they fucked it up, dude. And they fucked it up. And now it seems like we're another 5 years away from a Super Bowl.
5 years is very generous. But... I respect the optimism, because it's very hard right now. It's like, as much as we've beaten the dead horse, you look at the roster, it's like at the receiver position, was A-Rob in an agreement to come to camp? Is he good to go now? I don't know if I saw that.
Well, he signed off, but I think that's just because they're going to trade him. I don't think he would have went from, hey, I'm not signing this. Maybe he saw the wide receiver market and how things were going and was like, fuck it, I'll take the 18 mil for the year or whatever it is. Yeah. But I think he signed it because they're like, yeah, we're going to actively shop you.
It's crazy too, because the numbers that we talked last year, we said, you know, 14, 16, 18 was probably the ceiling, and that's what it ends up being. But I just feel like Matt Nagy's head's going to fucking explode this year, because he's going to have to rely on David Montgomery. They're going to have to run. They're going to have to be run first. You can't be air raid pass heavy with
Andy fucking Dalton. It's just like, I'll bring it back up like I did last week. It's like, if you look at the type of receivers he's played with throughout his career, he should be way better than he is. The people that he's played with in Cincinnati, A.J. Green's.
A.J. Green's first 8 years were fucking
nuts.
Unbelievable.
Fantasy football, one of my favorite fantasy football players of all time.
One of the only rookies to come in and be a top producer at fantasy.
All you had to do was toss the
12 catches up
in the middle of the field and he was catching it. That's how good A.J. Green was.
So, and then you look at him go to Dallas and he you know, he talked about in the press conference, well, he kind of alluded that he did a good enough job to earn this position. No. You found the last team possible, the most desperate team possible, and your agent deserves a fucking raise. He deserves more than his 3% of your $10 million, because the discrepancy on what we could have gotten Andy Dalton for last year to what we're getting for now. And then you take a look at receiver. Darnell Mooney is our best receiver, clearly. There's talks about Anthony Miller being on the way out. I don't mind that. But what are we going to replace his somewhat lack of productivity with? You still need to fill his slot. It's like there's talks about Jimmy Graham not being brought back. I honestly think Jimmy Graham performed up to his contract.
I liked Jimmy Graham last year, to be honest. And right now we have no.
What the fuck are we going to have on offense?
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, what are we going to have on offense next year? And our offense was already bad.
Good. That's what Matt Nagy fucking gets. You make your bed, you fucking sleep in it. You trash a guy like Anthony Miller for 2 years, saying that he runs the right wrong routes, and trash your quarterback, who's clearly fucking better than what you have right now, saying that he can't do this or he can't do that, and you fucking throw all these guys under the bus, and you know what? They're going to go other places. They're going to perform better, and everyone's going to see that you were just a big, bald fucking fraud, and that's just the reality. He should have wished he got fired this year, because he would have had a better chance getting hired back as a head coach, or at least as a coordinator or something like that. He had a better chance, and he could have at least sold that to another team. Hey, the Bears are dysfunctional. Ryan Pace could get me a quarterback, blah, blah, blah. Now the wheels are falling off. This Jagoff's not getting a job. He'll maybe be a quality control coach for fucking Andy Reid.
You're all washed up, baldy. No, fuck Ryan Pace. Fuck that bald fraud. Or no, fuck Matt Nagy, my bad. But fuck Ryan Pace, too. He's dead to me as well. I guess one of the biggest points I wanted to make when you brought up Kyle Long, and I guess I'll just kind of finish on it, is Illinois. If you live in Illinois and you're a Chicago Bears fan and you are a Matt Nagy guy and you follow college football at all, I want to let you know something. Charlie Weiss, nobody confuses Charlie Weiss for Bill Belichick. Nobody should confuse Matt Nagy for Andy Reid.
Charlie Weiss.
No, but that's a great fucking way to put it, dude. That is a great way to put it. And I'm so sick and tired. We are in year four of a Matt Nagy-led Chicago Bears team. If I have to hear about Kansas City one more fucking time, I don't want to hear about Kansas City's offense. I want to hear about the Chicago Bears offense, okay? We know Kansas City lights up the scoreboard. We see it on ESPN every fucking week. We want to see the Chicago Bears offense perform, you stupid bald fuck.
No, dude, 100%. Like, the only reason I'm going to watch Kansas City is to watch Kyle Long absolutely kill it. And I really want to hear just a subtle soundbite for a shot at that stupid bald fuck. I really want to.
I would love to hear Kyle Long's, Harry Heastands, some of these guys' unfiltered thoughts on Matt Nagy. The guys that fucking got outed that were good parts of this organization, but they got outed because Matt Nagy said they didn't fit in his fucking system. That's, I want to hear their unfiltered thoughts. I honestly do.
I want to hear Vic Fangio personally.
Vic Fangio knew.
He definitely knew.
He knew Matt Nagy was a fucking jagoff. Like, he knew for a fact.
I always loved when Matt first got fucking hired. He used to talk about how he would love to put input on offense and defense. And I guarantee there was multiple times at Bears practice where Vic just told Matt, just turn back the fuck around and let me do my job.
Yeah, I don't doubt it for a second. I think that's good. You guys, I think we covered everything, right?
I don't know if it's good, but that's all I got.
It's the same thing as last week. It's like, dude, we're not good. We won't be good for at least 5 years. And now I'm not talking about us. I'm talking about the actual Bears. Like, I don't think the Bears are going to be good for a long time. And you got to remember, too, we can't even say they're going to go 5-11 or 6-10, or there's an extra game of us just getting our ass whooped this year. So that's great. But
I've actually, this is the least amount of optimism I've ever had heading into a start of a season.
It's already over in my eyes. We've had some
bad rosters.
I think the only thing that builds us back up and gets us even a little bought in is trading up for a quarterback. And I think that's ultimately what they're going to try to do.
I mean, at this point, I feel like what's a quarterback going to do? Like, what, getting Trey Lance, guy that needs some real like work and some sanding out the rough edges or whatever the fuck you want to call it. Someone like Trey Lance or Zach Wilson, that's going to need to take a step up. That's, I wouldn't say 100% pro ready, because I don't think many quarterbacks are 100% pro ready coming out of college, to be honest. But what is that going to do for us? I feel like with Andy Dalton, you had a better chance if you fucking go ahead and just stack up the offensive line, get a couple of receivers, and hope to God your defense could win you some games. I don't know. I just don't want this. To me, this season is already shot in the foot. Like, don't fuck up 2022 now. Don't do that. Please don't. Because I'm already going to have to fucking deal with this season. And like I said, I'm going to have to get myself up and fucking watch 2016 tape of the red fucking rifle or red rocket, whatever you want to call them. I'm going to have to find a way to convince myself this team's going to be good and just get my heart ripped out of my fucking chest every single Sunday. So I would prefer that they just don't fuck up anything else for the future. If something crazy happens, if someone like Trey Lance falls to 20, great. But I don't want this clown show to fucking mortgage our future assets. And that's why a big part of the reason why I was against someone like Deshaun Watson or any of these high-profile quarterbacks trading two ones for Carr or anything like this, because I think it's just so fucked that I would like the status quo. I would like to see this team do the best they can with what they have right now without fucking up 2022 and 2023. Because then instead of a 5-year rebuild for a new GM or a 3-year reset, it turns into a big fucking project. You know what I mean?
Kids are going to be in like kindergarten by the time the Bears are good again. Oh. We have zero kids collectively as we speak.
Yeah. I mean, as much as I really don't want it to happen, I really think that's the goodwill that this team's going to try to buy. I don't know if you guys know who Mick Foley is, but he used to make this great point and talk about this thing called cheap pops, where it would be like this little bit of enthusiasm you could build up even if you're a fucking nobody, where you basically go on stage and you're like, hello Cleveland or hello Chicago, and you know, everyone from Chicago is like, ah yeah, that's awesome, they said Chicago. Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy are going to go out, they're going to trade up for a quarterback, and they're going to get all these guys being like, hey, quarterback. And everyone in Chicago is going to be like, oh, yeah, quarterback. It's anyone. And he's not Mitchell Trubisky. And it's like, yeah, not Mitchell Trubisky. And everyone's going to get up for it. It's going to be stupid as fuck. And we're all going to be way too bought in by the time it hits September. I'm calling it now.
There's going to be a chain of like 350 Bears fans in the tailgating lot, just all connected by PVC pipe. Just one continuous fart streaming through every human being.
Just the human centipede.
Yeah, and I never wish death upon anyone, and I don't want Ted Phillips to die, but I just kind of picture if he does die, it's going to be when he does die, because he's not immortal, please God. But I just have a feeling he's going to pull an Elvis. Like, he's going to die on the shitter. It just seems very appropriate
with like
for
a,
him.
A peanut butter PB&J with like fucking a banana in the middle of it.
There's definitely salami on that sandwich.
There is like a prosciutto lodged in the back of his throat.
There's no doubt that Ted Phillips is shit he eats while he's on the toilet. Like, he's no doubt in my mind.
He's eating a hoagie while he's taking his shit.
100%. He's putting it as it's coming out. It's just one continuous fucking... He's always got to be filled to the neck with fucking cold cuts. But that does it for us. We'll be back some point. I hope to God it's with better news, but right now it's all been bad. Go ahead and follow us at Bears on Tap or follow On Tap Sportsnet for all of your Chicago sports needs. I'm Lucas Perfetti. You could follow me at Lucas Perfetti 46. And I also have my guys, Beat on 300, Brandon Suarez, and that pod guy, Duke Coughlin. Thank you guys very much, and bear down.
Bear down.
Bear down.
Also, Manscaped, type in the code on tap for 20% off. Oh, and
shave
actually,
your balls.
And we have a thing with Bet Rivers as well, I believe. So if they do a up to $250 match if you type in the code on tap as well. So that's pretty cool. We got some new stuff on the horizon. I'm sure we'll be filling you guys in on it in the future. But until then, bear down.
On tap to the fucking moon.
Bear down.